It's showtime!
Get up! I want everybody up! Get out of your seats and get on your feet! Welcome to Where Rock Meets Roll, Heavy Beats Metal, and Out Meet Law. Ladies and gentlemen, let them hear you!
Welcome everyone to episode 2 of the Midwest Auto Sports Podcast presented by Pedal Down Promotions. My name is Lauren Kelly, the voice of the Midwest Sprint Car Association, and today, finally, I am here with
Will Garretts, MSA Sprint Car Driver.
There we go. Will is back in the US of A, and it's wonderful to have him back, so good to have you here, Will.
It's good to be back after all this coronavirus news that's been going around.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the news that's going around right now. So, of course, as always, we are presented by Pedal Down Promotions. Pedal Down Promotions is a full-service public relations and media services company devoted to helping businesses, organizations, civic groups, sports teams, and book authors effectively communicate with targeted audiences through a diverse array of promotional strategies and methods, including press releases, newsletters, profile and feature articles, website and social media content development, printed media, marketing materials, editing and layout, graphic design, and book publishing services. For more information on how Pedal Down Promotions can become your fast track connection to success, contact Jeff Pedersen by email at pedaldownpromotions@gmail.com or visit www.pedaldownpromo.com. Thank you again to Pedal Down Promotions for sponsoring the podcast week in and week out. And as far as guests this week in the Grassroots Project Hot Seat, we're going to talk to Alex and Paul Pokorsky a little later on in the show. They're sharing the number 4 MSA Sprint Car this season, so very excited to talk to them. And we'll have power rankings from both myself and Will for the IRA, and I put together a little power rankings for the Dirt Kings late models as well. And in news presented by Recognition Race Products, we're going to talk about how esports has come to the forefront of the racing scene and how Pennsylvania tried to keep racing for a couple weeks, but they're now shut down as well. So that's all coming up. We hope you stay tuned. All right, now we're going to get into our news section presented by Recognition Race Products. On warm summer nights, as the sun goes down and the sound of revving engines fills the air, the passion for racing carries an energy all on its own. We offer everything drivers need to take that passion to the winner's circle with the most complete selection of parts, gear, and tools available. Recognition Race Products is your local source featuring products from over 630 of the world's leading manufacturers. We promise to keep you on the cutting edge of the racing industry. Recognition Race Products, we make it easy. Visit them online at go2rrp.com or visit their store at 118 Highland Avenue in Plymouth, Wisconsin. Now, to get this started, I don't know if you watched any of this past week, this past weekend, but the amount of esports on TV, and like esports racing on TV and the internet, like YouTube and everything, was unreal. It was amazing. Just seeing like iRacing and like F1 had a whole like virtual Grand Prix with all their real drivers and everything. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, for sure. I guess NASCAR had their big one on Fox Sports 1 with Denny Hamlin winning that one. Kind of cool to see.
I didn't even see that. Denny Hamlin did win.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I know F1 had theirs. I didn't really get to watch that one. I was kind of busy doing my schoolwork yesterday. But I think the World of Outlaws has theirs Wednesday night, their kind of invitational race. I will probably tune into that one. I don't know who will be driving in that on the iRacing.
Assuming that's going to be on Dirt Vision or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's included with their Dirt Vision subscription.
Wow, that's awesome. And I see that Dirt Vision was doing a bunch of replays this past weekend as well, and like watch parties or whatever. But yeah, I watched actually F1 had a whole day on Sunday, just completely packed full of esports stuff, and they had one like non-real sanctioned thing that Veloce Esports put together, but then they actually had a completely sanctioned F1 virtual Grand Prix, they called it, and it was with like Nico Hülkenberg, Lando Norris, and a couple other like actual real world F1 drivers, and then they also had some celebrities come in, like Liam Payne.
Yeah,
and
I
stuff
saw
like that.
I saw there was some racing YouTubers and esports guys like Jimmy Broadbent.
Yep.
And it was kind of cool. They kind of got signed, quote unquote, to different teams, and all teams from the F1 grid got represented in the virtual grid.
Yeah, it was exactly. Like they had two drivers per team, just like normal, and it was pretty interesting. And I love that esports is getting this more widespread coverage now. Like obviously it's not a great thing because of course we'd love real racing to be up there, you know, and be going out and actually racing and doing things like that. But this is a nice thing to tide us over, and that F1 race was hugely entertaining. Like they had some technical issues, so they had to shorten the race by half. It was supposed to be a 50% length. They shortened it to 25%. And the ending, Lando Norris, a real-world F1 driver from McLaren, was battling Jimmy Broadbent at the end of the race, and they actually ended up taking each other out at the last corner. So they both screwed each other out of a podium. But it was just very, very cool to see. And, of course, there's no awards or anything like that or money given out to people.
Just bragging rights.
Exactly.
All the race car drivers out there aren't getting their fixes early enough in the season, so we got to resort to online racing via iRacing and other means.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many people, like I was seeing that Eric Miller, the announcer at Road America, he was talking about, he was like, well, I've been doing iRacing since 94 or something like that. And it was kind of funny to see. And now it's just because of this coronavirus thing, it's kind of a positive to take from it, is that esports and iRacing and all the virtual racing simulators and stuff like that are getting this publicity now because of this.
Oh yeah, for sure. I've been iRacing the past few days since I got back home from Europe, and last night I was racing with Trevor Frank, he'll be rookie in the sport mod this year.
Yep.
And there was 1,000 entries for their NASCAR Cup Series at Homestead last night.
I saw that too, that he's doing, he's always done iRacing, I think, right?
Yeah.
Trevor has. But I saw that he was entered in some late model event, and like he was coming up through E-mains and stuff like that. So that means you at least have 70 or some cars there.
SpeedShift TV is doing free broadcasts on Facebook with iRacing on their dirt. I know they had a street stock dirt race last night and a modified, UMP modified race.
Wow.
Last night, I think he just missed the A-main, the show, by one spot.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did see that. If he had finished second or something like that.
I think they only took 16.
Right.
And only three transferred out of the heats.
Right. Man, that's crazy. And I love seeing that there's a different side of racing coming to the forefront. The second bit of news that I have to talk about is that Pennsylvania... I had to laugh when I saw this on Facebook. It literally said that the Pennsylvania governor made an exception for dirt tracks. Like, everything else was closed, restaurants, bars, everything, but dirt tracks could stay open and still race. And they did for a week. And then I think the federal government stepped in and was like, no.
Yeah, the PA posse, they're pretty hardcore about their racing, but to get an exception from the governor.
I couldn't believe that. And I was happy with it because I got to watch it on SpeedShift TV. They had it on Port Royal, and I saw Lance DeWeese win, and it was a great race. But I just had to laugh, and I was like, well, that I couldn't think that was going to last very long with this whole issue and everything. And now I think just today, the Wisconsin governor put out a stay-at-home order, or like obviously he recommended it or something like that. It wasn't an official order.
All non-essential.
Exactly. So like unless you have to go to the store or record a podcast,
right?
you have to stay home. But I just saw that and I was like, that has to be a great racing culture over in Pennsylvania for the governor to make a specific exception for racetracks.
Hey, it gave us all something to watch too. If on online, if it was the only sprint car stuff going on in the entire country, all eyes were on the PA posse over there.
Yeah, and not that they don't get enough eyes all the time,
right.
But Yeah, it was just, it was great. And I watched Lance DeWeese win at Port Royal, and it was really cool. But then I was like, I don't think this is going to last any more than this 1 week. And it didn't. They got cut off for this last weekend. When I was looking for like past feature winners and stuff like that. And of course, this whole coronavirus thing is, I don't know if it's going to blow over. I was actually just listening to the radio, and President Trump was on, and he said something about how they've released this new drug to like 10,000 people in New York that have been affected by coronavirus or something like that, and it's had a hugely positive effect on them. So hopefully, you know, if we can get that drug widespread, this could get cut shorter than I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. But I've always told people, like up here especially, they keep asking me about if the race season in Wisconsin is going to be affected, and I just tell them, don't panic now. We've still got quite a while before we get going up here.
Yeah, hopefully something gets figured out here and we can get up to racing sooner than later.
Yeah, when's our first practice date is like April 11th.
Yeah,
or
April
something?
11th.
Yeah, as far as the MSA goes, I think it's at Plymouth, isn't it?
I think it's at Plymouth, and then yeah. I think maybe a week or two later there's one at Beaver Dam, and then we're racing.
Right, yeah, I think April 18th is the first race for the MSA. I got it pulled up here somewhere. yes, April 18th at Beaver Dam for the Whipperfirth Memorial. So that's going to be, again, we're almost a month out from there, so hopefully this blows over by then. If not, hopefully the MSA and hopefully the governor will make an exception for us too, but I doubt it. But yeah, I think unless you got anything.
No, I don't have any other news.
All right. So that's going to wrap it up for news presented by Recognition Race Products. And we're going to move on to our weekly schedule presented by Sage Fruit. All right, moving on to our weekly schedule and winner circle presented by Sage Fruit. Where's the ad? There it is. Winner's Circle. Sage Fruit is a high-quality grower, packer, and shipper of Washington State apples, pears, and cherries. We work hard on the farm, in the packing houses, and in sales to deliver an exceptional eating experience to our customers. For the past 17 years, Sage Fruit has been a proud sponsor of Sprint Cars and Sprint Car Racing. We value our relationship with Sprint Car fans and appreciate your continued support of Sage Fruit. Ask for Sage Fruit at your local grocer. Sage Fruit, an exceptional eating experience. Thank you to Sage Fruit for sponsoring our Winner's Circle segment. As the show moves on into the actual racing season up here in the Midwest, this will be a section where we talk about past week's feature winners from local tracks around the Midwest, and we look ahead to the weekly schedule next week. As we don't have any weekly schedule to look at for now, we're going to take a look at the Midwest Sprint Car Association schedule and also the IRA Sprints schedule. We're going to start with the MSA, though, and the fact that I have an MSA driver here with me is a nice bonus, because I get to ask you, what are your thoughts on this doozy of a schedule for the MSA this year?
It's a busy one. A lot of doubleheaders, even a triple header there.
Yeah. And with the Pepsi Nationals.
Yep, July 3, 4, 5 with the Dodge County, and then two Angel Parks in a row. It's kind of neat because they're two completely different tracks. One's huge, and then the other's pretty tiny and narrow.
Yeah, and just the fact that MSA is on the card for the Pepsi Nationals is awesome.
Oh, for sure. Us and the Power Eye Midgets, that'll be quite the show.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. Again, that week that Will's talking about is the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July, starting at the Dodge County Fairgrounds with the Harry Neitzel Memorial, and then I believe that's with the IRA, is it not? That Friday?
Yeah.
For Dodge County that week?
Let's just see here.
I would assume it is Harry Neitzel.
Yeah, it looks like it is.
Yeah. And then the 4th and the 5th are the Pepsi Nationals at Angel Park Speedway in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Angel Park, of course, was dominated by Travis Aarons last year.
Yeah, he won all three of them.
Won all three of them at Angel Park. But it looks like this year you got even more dates down there. And I don't think Travis Aarons is going to be in a 360 this next year. But So maybe that'll open the door up for somebody else to win down there. But just looking at the schedule in general, the thing that struck me is May is the only month where there's not a double or triple header. But then, so I was going to say it's the only normal month, but then on the 30th of May, you've got the show at Sheboygan County with the IRA and the All-Stars.
Yeah, the Race Rudine Foundation.
So for those of you who don't know, the Race Rudine Foundation, I believe it moves track to track.
Last year was the first year. That was in 34 Raceway in West Burlington, Iowa.
Okay.
I actually went there. I was just going down on a little short mini vacation on an off weekend with the MSA.
Yeah.
With me and my dad, and we just picked up the race there, and it was quite the show. It was the first time they ever did it, and it's kind of cool to be brought to Plymouth.
Are you at all surprised that it's being brought to Plymouth?
Or? Honestly, I am. I thought they would kind of keep down to like the Iowa, maybe like Illinois area, just because you can draw maybe a little more cars. We're kind of way up here compared to a lot of the sprint cars.
Well, I mean, I would have said the same thing, but then you look at the Wisconsin Sprint Championships last year and look at the cars that they were pulling for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were some all-star guys that come up, the McCarls. Both the McCarls came up for that weekend. Obviously, Linton Jeffrey and a couple other guys. Tony Stewart came back for that weekend as well. And with this, you're going to have, it's the end of May, so it's going to be perfect weather. You've got the IRA coming, so there's 20 cars right there. The All-Stars, there's another 20 cars. Plus anybody else that the $26,000 payout brings in.
Yeah, that'll draw a few names.
And then, so you figure on about 40, 45, you know, 410s, and then the MSA brings out 30 cars a night easy probably for that race. I would assume that somebody's going to step up and increase the purse for the MSA that night as well. So you're going to look at probably almost 80 sprint cars in the pits for that night, which is insane.
And I believe it's only us and the
it's only the two divisions.
So there'll be a bunch of wings in the pits. It'll be a packed pits.
It's going to be a packed pits, and I would have to think it's going to be a packed grandstand as well. I mean, just look at the crowd that just Tony Stewart brought to Plymouth, you know, a few years ago, and now with when the All-Stars come there, it's, you know, I remember last year asking people to scoot in so people could fit in on the edge of the aisles. There were people sitting in the aisles. It was crazy. But then we look ahead to June. Well, I guess we didn't really talk about April too much. But yeah, the season starts on the 18th of April at Beaver Dam for the Whipperforth Memorial. Then it moves straight away into a doubleheader. Right off the bat in April, you've got Saturday night at Sheboygan County and then Sunday at Dodge County for the Fossbrenner Memorial, which was actually, that date was added just recently as well.
Yeah, that was a late addition to the schedule.
Yeah, so that's very cool. I like watching the MSA at Dodge County. I know not a lot of guys like running it, just because of the higher speeds, I would assume, but...
Yeah, I don't exactly have the best track experience there, but I don't know, I like driving the track, and it's a little dangerous.
Yeah, and the thing that I was talking to, I talked to Chris Flick about that as well, our guest next week. He had a big crash there this last year as well, and he had a pretty bad concussion from that, actually, but... he was saying that if you wreck at Dodge County, you wreck hard. It's not like you just do a little 360 and then you're fine. It's gonna be a big one if you do wreck there. a testament to your wreck. Yeah. So that's April. Then we move into May. All of the races in May are just one a week. And they're all at the dirt track in Plymouth at Sheboygan County Fairgrounds, again, with the exception of the 30th, which is still at Sheboygan County, but that's with the IRA and the All-Stars. June is a little bit chaotic. You start with a doubleheader on the 6th and the 7th. The 6th is at Sheboygan County. The 7th is a Sunday nighter at Angel Park. 13th is a Saturday. That's going to be back at Plymouth. Then next week, you've got another doubleheader. Friday for the Hager Nelson Memorial, which is awesome.
That's cool.
That's going
to
be really
He did a
really
lot
great.
To help our division and series, and it's kind of cool to kind of give back to him and show some.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that's going to be very, 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 very cool. And even at Brandon Burst Bratfry this last weekend I was talking to a lot of guys, just they're just expressing how much they miss Hagar and how weird that night's going to be without, you know, having him out there rolling the dice and all that stuff. So that's going to be at Outagamie Speedway. I believe that's the first, yeah, that's the first race of the year at Outagamie up in Seymour, Wisconsin. And then that Saturday night, that's a Friday night, this Saturday night is going to be back at Sheboygan County in Plymouth. Then the next week you've got another doubleheader.
This time Sheboygan County Fairgrounds, yeah, on a Friday night for the Rush Heffler Tribute.
Yeah. And then Saturday you go back to Beaver Dam Raceway. Oh, I do have to say I love seeing more dates at Beaver Dam.
That was a fun date last year on the end of the year there.
And that was
a lot of passing. It was,
yeah, that was the only one you guys qualified at too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, and I tried to pitch that to the fair board, and I didn't get that. They didn't like that very much. I tried to pitch qualifying every night for the MSA at Plymouth and everything, but they didn't like that very much. But yeah, so that's the 27th is the first date at Beaver Dam. But yeah, I think you've got two dates at Beaver Dam this season, which is awesome.
Three
of them?
Yep.
Oh, one, yeah, that's right. One right away. August. Yep. One right away in the season, then one late. But that's a great facility, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's fun to run. It's kind of, everything gets run smoothly, and the racing's pretty good, too. It's kind of just a little bit different than what we're used to at Plymouth.
It's such a wide track, too. I mean, oh, just yeah, the way it's shaped and everything.
Up on the top where I was running last year, it's just so fast.
Yeah. It's almost, I've talked to a couple IRA guys, and they said you can almost run it like a half mile, just flat out all the way around the top of the racetrack. Well, then you go into July, and of course, that's the triple header we were talking about earlier at Dodge County Angel Park, and then Angel Park again for the Pepsi Nationals. Then you go the next week, or actually there's a week off between there, which is probably going to be welcome for all the MSA teams to have a week off in the middle of July. Then you go to a doubleheader again at Outagamie and then Plymouth. So do you like Outagamie? You like racing up there at Seymour?
Yeah, last year I had a lot of fun there. It gets really slick pretty much from right after the heat race is on, and it's just bottom to top, just glass.
Really?
Yeah, last year when I was running side-by-side with Lance, it's just no groove is really preferred. It's just kind of whoever can run the best. I mean, you can run the same lap times up top as you can on the bottom, in the middle,
wow,
anywhere. It's a really racy track.
That's awesome. I didn't get up to Outagamie last season to see a race, but I'm obviously definitely going to this season. I've heard that they've done a lot of really good things with that place ever since EWSC moved in. As far as the facilities go, kind of bringing it up to date. But then you go back that Saturday night to Sheboygan County at Plymouth, and then you end July on the 25th at Plymouth as well. Moving into August, you start right away with a doubleheader again at the Sheboygan County Fairgrounds on the 1st, which is Saturday night with the IRA. And then the 2nd of August, which is at Angel Park again.
The Norm Nelson Classic.
Yeah.
Which is traditionally a 410 show.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know if they're there as well, but...
That would be, I mean, I would assume, because you're at Saturday with the IRA at Plymouth, so I would assume they'd also be running that Sunday. How do you like having the nights with the IRA as opposed to racing weekly with the other three divisions at Plymouth? Is it better? Is it worse? Because you have the sprint cars move the cushion up, but is there any kind of preference?
Some nights it's okay, some nights it's can be a little chaotic, but
yeah,
especially with 80 sprint cars in the pits, yeah, just pushing off for motor heat just gets a little frustrating.
Yeah, they need a few more push trucks. And then you have the one date of the year that the next Friday at SK Speedway, which is way up there.
Oh, that's
in Unity, Wisconsin. How was that track last year? Because I know you raced there once last year as well.
Yeah, once the past few years for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little track. I mean, they don't really get sprint cars up there a whole lot, so there's always a big crowd there waiting for us. And I don't know, it's pretty racy. It's more along the bottom. It kind of rubbers up pretty early in the A main, but it's still fun.
Yeah, I've always liked the Northern Wisconsin tracks, like Amsoil Speedway. up in Superior, because when you go up there, when a touring series, even like the IRA goes through there, there's a big crowd, because they don't get those touring series there like that often, just like you said. And then the next few dates there in August are going to be all at Plymouth, the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 28th. However, that 28th is a Friday at Sheboygan County, because that Saturday you're at Beaver Dam Raceway again. Again, awesome to see Beaver Dam on the schedule so much. I'm not sure how you feel about all the double headers and triple headers. Does it wear on a team like that, having to do so many of those in a season?
Yeah, if there's a lot of them in a row, it can get kind of draining, but it's still a blast to do, because I like running two different tracks on two different nights.
That's the cool thing that I'm seeing here too, because even just between Plymouth and Angel Park, Angel Park's completely different than any track on the schedule.
They're the same sizes. As Plymouth and Angel Park are the same size, but it just the way they're laid out makes them run so much different.
Angel Park's almost like a circle. It's kind of, it's for people
real flat
never,
too.
Right, for people who've never been there, there's almost no banking, and it's almost like an egg shape kind of. But there's like almost a weird curve on the backstretch. It's pretty cool. And then you go up to where is that next one? So then you go to Beaver Dam, where it's just wide and it's stretched out almost like a paperclip. And then you go back to Plymouth, where it's a bull ring, just like, you know, not necessarily like 141. That's one date that I'd like to see on the MSA schedule, is a 141 date.
Yeah, I've never raced there yet, but I think maybe in the future we might run there with the 410s, just to kind of experience it.
I've seen some guys with 360s go up there and run with the 410s, because I mean, they're not going to say no, it's another car in the pits, but and they run pretty competitively, because you just hug the bottom there and see what's going on, because they, I mean, with so much power there, it doesn't really do too much for you. But and then you go into September, you got the 5th, which is the annual fair date at Sheboygan County Fair, which is always cool.
Fun.
Yeah, it's so cool watching, because that date's also with the IRA. Seems like we're getting through half of the IRA schedule here as well. And then the 12th is a regular date at Plymouth. And then the 25th and 26th to finish out the season, which we didn't get to see the doubleheader this last year because the Friday got rained out. But it's the Friday at Dodge County Fairgrounds for the Schmidt Memorial, and then Saturday finishing out the year at the Wisconsin Sprint Car Championship.
That's always a fun night with all the sprint cars in the pits.
That was seriously, that show last year was awesome. You had the IRA Lightning Sprints, the Wingless Sprints, the 410s, and then the MSA 360s. That was a really, really cool night.
It'd be cool to throw in the Badger Midgets too, just for some diversity.
That would. That would be really, really cool, actually. I don't know why they haven't done that. That would make sense. Because that's like, that is the last date of racing in Wisconsin, besides, you know, you got some ice breakers every once in a while, or ice makers or whatever they call it. But that's like the last one where any major series runs in Wisconsin. So you would think they'd want in on that, but maybe not. Maybe that's a little far for them. Plymouth?
Yeah. Like, I think they come up there once a year too now.
Oh, that's, yeah, you're right, they do. And then, of course, the awards banquet the 14th of November to wrap up the season. So just your overall thoughts on this schedule, like, is it good to have so many dates? I just counted them. There's 33 dates on the schedule this year. That's a significant jump from 25 last year.
I think we had 31 last year, but we got rained out to 25.
So they added two more to make it 27. Huh?
Yeah. But yeah, it's a pretty good schedule. May will be a little drawn out, since it's just Sheboygan County Fairgrounds in Plymouth.
You got something to look forward to at the end of the month, though, with that Race Dean race. But yeah, June is crazy. I was looking at that too, and then July with the triple header right off the bat. And then you get a nice week break in there too, which is good.
Yeah, I think in that week break, we're gonna go down to 34 Raceway in Burlington, Iowa, to take in the Outlaw race down there.
Oh, nice. I need to get to a race in Iowa. But I went to Knoxville once, and it was cool, but I think I was too young to really appreciate it. So I need to go back there now that I'm a little bit older and wiser. Now we're going to take a look at the IRA schedule for 2020. They, of course, start on Sprint Car Day, 410. Those lucky ducks, all the way down at Lee County Speedway in Iowa. And they've got the IRA MOA Clash the next night on 411, which is at 34 Raceway, like you were talking about, in Iowa. Those early dates, I think those are the two that are probably going to be pretty in jeopardy of being canceled.
I think everything until May is probably up in the air right now.
Yeah. I was talking to a couple guys at that Birth Racing Brat Fry as well, and they were saying how they are kind of expecting at this point for April to just be completely chopped. But who knows? Again, if this miracle drug comes through and, you know, gets distributed decently, we might see some April racing, but we'll see. It's a little ways off from now. And then Whipperforth Memorial, that's also with the
MSA. Same thing with the Fosbender Memorial.
Yep, on the 18th and 26th of April. And then they go to Outagamie Speedway on May 1st. Spring Car Special at Cedar Lake. I love Cedar Lake. That's probably one of the best facilities in Wisconsin. Have you ever been there?
I've never been there.
Oh, man. It's nice. It's a pretty long drive for us, but it's worth it if you ever go over there for the, what is it? I just can't think of the name of the big World of Outlaws race there. That's a great facility. You get fireworks and everything at the end of the A mains. Wilmot on the 9th of May. I've been to Wilmot a couple times. It's nice.
I've raced there in a micro.
Oh, yeah?
Quite a few times. It's fun. It's kind of fun. I mean, maybe someday we can try to get the MSA down there.
Yeah, I mean it's not any more of a drive than Unity, so you would think they'd be keen to get down there. Great Lakes Shootout at Jackson Motorplex. Love seeing the IRA going over to Minnesota a few times at the Jackson Motorplex throughout the year. Beaver Dam Raceway on the 23rd, Sunday Funday number one. I don't know what that's all about. Sunday Funday just must be their Sunday night races at 141, which is always fun. It kind of gets to be a little bit of a dust bowl there, but the facility is awesome.
Always good, pretty good racing too.
Yeah, a lot of dirty sliders get put on there. Wilmot on the 29th of May. That's another double header, a triple header actually, now that I look at it, because then you've got 5:30 at the Plymouth Dirt Track that's the Race Redeem Memorial, May 30th. And then the next night they're at Angel Park Speedway for the Sprint Spectacular on May 31st. On 6-6, June 6th, that's going to be the IRA MOAS special again at Fairbury American Legion Speedway, which is that in Illinois?
I want to say it's in Illinois.
I think it's in Illinois as well. Wow, look how knowledgeable we are. On June 13th, they're back at Wilmot Raceway. And then on the 28th of June, they have the Salute to Fallen Service Members, which is always a fun night at Angel Park Speedway. Harry Knightsel Memorial, so yes, that is with the IRA, at Dodge County on July 3rd. And they skip. They're not at the Pepsi Nationals. I thought they were. That's not. I guess not. Look at that, the MSA. Just the MSA. So it's just the MSA.
The Power Eye Midgets.
Okay. And then they have their Sunday Funday number 2 on July 5th at 141 Speedway. Beaver Dam Raceway again on July 25th. And July 31st is the Langlade County Fair at Anago, which is at Langlade County Speedway, which is awesome.
That's a fast track, it looks like.
That, I would say, they call Dodge County the horsepower half mile. That place is fast, and it's wide, too. So it's almost like Knoxville, where you've got, you know, it's a half mile, but it's just so wide. You can throw sliders everywhere. That's a really cool track, and it's a shame that it's so far away, because I feel like they would race there a lot more. 8-1, August 1st, they're back at the Plymouth Dirt Track. And then on July 8th, they have Founders Night at Wilmot Raceway. Of course, Wilmot's where the IRA originated from, so that's going to be a really cool night there. On August 22nd, they have the Kenosha County Fair at Wilmot Raceway, and then they go to Miller Lite Corn Fest at Angel Park, which is always a really, really fun,
deal. That's a race I wish the MSA was a part of, because I miss going to Corn Fest.
That was cool. I remember the last time I was at Corn Fest was when they had the National Sprint League. They had that one-off year where they were like this huge thing where it's like, this is going to rival the Outlaws, and then it went defunct after a year. But they were at Corn Fest, and they had the joint race with the IRA there.
Yeah, Danny Lasoski won that night.
Yes, he did. That was a really, really cool event there. And then the next week, they have the Bill Waite Memorial at Dirt Oval at Route 66 Speedway, which that's a really cool track as well. I've seen that a couple times on SpeedShift TV. And then on September 5th, they're at the Sheboygan County Fair. That is, of course, with the MSA. If you live around Eastern Wisconsin and you could pick one night to go to a sprint car race, that's probably the one that I would recommend besides the Race for Dean night. But it's honestly actually cheaper than going to a regular IRA race at Plymouth because you pay for the fare, which is like $4 or something like that. It's super cheap to get into the fair. And then the grandstand ticket, I remember I was of course working there, but I bought tickets for other people, and with the fair admission and the grandstand admission, it came out to like $15-16.
Mm.
So it's a lot cheaper than just going to a regular IRA night. Of course, Steve Sinclair probably won't like me saying that, but if you have to pick out and you're going on a budget, that's a really great night to go. And of course it's at the fair, so it's awesome. It's really fun. And then the next night, that's another doubleheader for them. They have Sunday Fun Day number 3 at 141 Speedway. And the next week, they're going to be at the Jerry Rickert Memorial at Cedar Lake Speedway. That's, again, that's a really, really awesome. That's a huge payout there as well. I think that's about 10 grand to win there. And then the Semmelman Memorial, of course, that's a memorial for Scott Semmelman at Beaver Dam Raceway on 919. Then you go to September 25th and 26th. Of course, those are the two dates we covered earlier with the MSA, the Schmidt Memorial at Dodge County, and the Wisconsin Sprint Car Championships at Plymouth. So looking at that schedule, you're talking about going, doing a couple of those nights at 141 as well, or just one of them?
We were toying around with the idea of going to 141 just to try that out.
Yeah. I mean, that'd probably work out because it looks like they have a couple Sunday night dates there.
And
as long as you're not running at Angel Park or something like that.
I think there's one or two that work out to where we could probably go.
Yeah. And there's a lot of dates on here that run with the MSA, and that's really cool. And I've always loved the atmosphere when the MSA and the IRA get together at Plymouth. I think it's a really, really cool atmosphere because you get the really, really passionate fans from the people that travel with the IRA, and then the homegrown crowd that follows the MSA each and every week at Plymouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get this, all of a sudden, whenever they come together, even if it's just a regular night, the crowd is just huge every time. And I don't know if you see that when you're in the car or anything, but
oh yeah, you can definitely notice it when you're being pushed out and just kind of checking the track. You can tell that there's a lot more fans on a IRA MSA night.
Well, and it's cool, and it's nice to see that touring series like the IRA actually does pull in some more fans. So that's gonna wrap up our Winner's Circle segment presented by Sage Fruit, and we're going to move on to our interview presented by Gasroots Project. Hey guys, just so you know, for this upcoming interview with Paul and Alex Pokorski, the audio was a little funky. There was a little delay with the calling app that we were using, so just stick through it. It's a really, really great interview. Paul and Alex had some really great insights, but stick through it. Sorry about there's just going to be a little bit of a pause between our questions and when Paul and Alex respond. So enjoy it, and here's the interview. All right, now we're moving on to the Gasroots Project hot seat segment of the show. Gasroots Project is a Wisconsin-based nonprofit organization working to strengthen and grow grassroots racing. I get that wrong every single time. Since 2017, the project has produced several short films and articles in addition to financially assisting racers and tracks through awards and sponsorships. To donate or learn more, visit GasrootsProject.com. And we have two very special guests here on the Gasroots Project hot seat today. Would like to welcome in Paul and Alex Pokorski, competitors this season in the Midwest Sprint Car Association. How are we doing today, guys?
We're good. Thanks for having us. All right.
No problem. All right, so now I'm going to hand it over to Will. Will's got some questions he wants to ask you guys, so take it away.
All right, so you guys are you guys are tag teaming the 4-car, I guess, this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm going to start out the season. The plan was that way. Who knows what's going on with the kind of the situation we're in right now with the whole COVID-19 virus thing. But the plan was while Alex was still in college and away, I would start the season, run the first 3-4 weeks until he was wrapping up his finals and things and done with school. And then he was going to run the middle part of the season whenever he could. and it didn't conflict with his summer work schedule. And then at the end of the season, when he goes back to school, I plan on wrapping things up. So in the middle part, he would be filling most of the dates with a few exceptions. That was the plan, but right now we're all in limbo like everybody else, and we'll see how things shake out and what it looks like here when the season actually gets started, whenever that is.
Yeah, for sure. Alex, do you have any prior racing experience?
Yeah, I started racing in maybe seventh grade, I think, at Slinger Speedway in some go-karts with the Memorial Go-Kart Foundation, just running a few races throughout summer. And I did that until probably seventh grade, until end of high school. And then also, I think my sophomore and junior years of high school, I ran a dirt go-kart at Beaver Dam Raceway and a couple other places down in Illinois and around Wisconsin.
Cool. I guess this is more of a question for Paul, but what's your advice for Alex being a rookie this year going to the sprint cars?
I guess the words of advice I'm going to give him or remind him are he's not going to learn anything if he's wrecked and in the pits. So just go out, make laps, try not to to try too hard, and just make sure you get laps. Give everybody plenty of room until you get the hang of things a little bit. He did very well in the go-karts, but this isn't a go-kart. And with the go-karts, you could get close to one another and bump each other a little bit, and it wasn't usually too catastrophic, but hopefully he doesn't find out that if you touch wheels in one of these, it's going to result in something different. So that would be my biggest advice, because I could have used that advice 20-some years ago when I was starting out. I spent too much time in the pits fixing crap when I should have been out on the racetrack making laps the first two or three years.
Nice. So it sounds like you've been racing a while. Do you guys have any what's your best racing memory racing together?
I guess I get that one too. I would say a couple years ago when we were racing Friday night and Saturday night with the sprint car in Manitowoc, and then at Plymouth on Saturdays. So we were racing two nights a week with the sprint car, and he was racing the go-kart at Beaver Dam on Tuesday nights, occasionally running Slinger on Sunday afternoons, and then traveling once in a while with the go-kart with one of our family friends who was taking him off. So we were, between the two of us, we were racing four nights a week, or 4 days a week, about 2 years there. On and off, you know, some weeks were twice, some weeks were three, some weeks were four days a week. So we're doing a lot of racing. I'm not sure how we kept that schedule up. It was pretty exhausting, but it was a lot of fun. And so that would probably be, in general terms, one of my favorite times. I would have to agree with that.
Just going back to the having a full schedule like that, it kind of seems like with the MSA schedule the way it is this year, with so many double and triple headers, especially in the middle of the season, which it sounds like is when Alex is going to be running the number four car this season, it sounds like that's going to be the best time to have him in the car anyways, just because all those triple and double headers, that's going to give him probably the most seat time possible in terms of just a regular 360 sprint season.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I've been racing for a long time, and when I first started out, it was mostly just one night a week, every Saturday, primarily Plymouth. Very little variety as far as the number of racetracks we got to go to. Maybe in the spring or fall, we'd get to Wilmot once in a while, but we didn't have very many shows that were back-to-back. And the few times that we did back in the whatever late 90s and stuff, I found it a lot easier to go racing the second day or the second night in a row. You're just a lot more relaxed, and I certainly found that out when MSA started doing a much busier schedule when we were at Manitowoc and then Plymouth. Even though it's a lot of work, when you're actually in the car, I felt more comfortable. I don't know if it's just you get used to the speeds or used to the routine that much more, And you can kind of start to see why, like, the outlaw drivers are so good. They go to such big, brighter racetracks and race so often that certainly adds to it. So, yeah, I would agree with you. Hopefully that middle part of the year is it really adds to the learning curve or advances the learning curve for him. But I'm going to interrupt it a little bit because I actually, looking at the schedule while we're talking, at Outagamie Speedway, the first time we go, or MSA goes there on Friday, June 19th, the Hagar Nelson Memorial, I plan on jumping in the car that night. Nice. One, because I like Outagamie Speedway. It's a lot of fun when it gets slick, and we all slide around there. And the other reason is because it's for Hagar, for the memorial. So Hagar was a good friend of ours, and I just want to be part of that evening. So that one I'm stealing away from him. He can go the second time, assuming work doesn't interfere, on July 17th.
All right. So it sounds, looking at the schedule and listening to you, we've been to a lot of racetracks, and you've been to a lot of racetracks. Do you have any track that you would consider your favorite?
I would have to say my favorite racetrack around our area that I ever went to or I've got to race on was Oshkosh, which unfortunately is no more. Yeah. And if I had to pick a number two, I'd say Manitowoc, which unfortunately isn't anymore. I thought both of those racetracks were a good balance of, you know, they're big enough and fast enough that you could really get the sense of speed and get all the performance out of the race cars, but they weren't so big that when you wrecked, you didn't necessarily tear things all to hell like you do at some of the big half miles. And so I thought they were a good balance, and they both of those racetracks were also really wide and gave a lot of room to move around and multiple lanes to race on. So I liked Oshkosh and Manitowoc. Those were definitely two of my favorites.
I could never really figure out Manitowoc, and I guess I never really had an opportunity to race at Oshkosh. But when I guess I was more of a fresher rookie when we raced Manitowoc a few years ago. But I could never figure out that place.
Yeah, well, it wasn't symmetrical in shape by any means, and you had to do different things in 3 and 4 than you do to get through 1 and 2. It was definitely, and I guess that's part of what I liked about it, in addition to being multiple grooves.
For sure. I guess that kind of wraps up, for the most part, my questions. Lauren, what do you got for them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this probably should have been the first question that I asked you, but we both know who you are, Paul, but there might be some listeners who don't. For those of you who don't know, Paul is pretty much a legend around Eastern Wisconsin Stock Car and PDTR in terms of Super Wing modifying sprint cars. So, Paul, if you want to just, like, list off, like, some of your accomplishments, like, what kind of cars you've driven in your career, and then just to kind of close it off, like, as far as Paul's questions go, like, where do you see your career going after this season? I mean, I would assume sharing the car with Alex, I don't want to say it seems like you're on the way out, but, you know, is there going to be a two-car team in the future, or is this just going to be kind of the last hurrah kind of deal?
Well, I'll start with the first part. When I started in 1993. I was 22, started racing a wing super modified with Eastern Wisconsin Stock Car at Plymouth at the time. And that was my first racing experience. Oh. And when we went out to back then you didn't get much, there were no practice days leading up or anything. So my first day of racing was opening night, and hot laps went okay. And then I went out and qualified, and I thought I wasn't so hard. Of course, there's nobody out there, so it seemed really easy. And then you get out there in the heat race and find out it's not nearly as easy when you got to give part of the racetrack to somebody else. So that was 1993, and I've been racing ever since. And then in 2007, we were still running a modified, but the modified numbers were dwindling pretty rapidly. And quite honestly, it just wasn't as much fun without the level of competition there anymore. And leading up to that, like, 2003 and 2004, we won the championship, and we had really decent car counts and guys like Peter Ostrowski and Gary Locke to race with on a nightly basis, and that was a lot of fun. And we won again in 2006 at Manitowoc, and But by 2007, we're like, say, car counts were dwindling, and kind of the writing was on the wall, I guess. So we had some trouble early on in that season, and we just decided that was the time to pull the plug. So we ran like the first 3 nights and then switched to the sprint car, which took a few weeks to get done. And we bought the MSA sprint car and started racing like toward the middle to end of 2007 with MSA. And I've been doing that ever since and really enjoy it. And then this year, as you mentioned, we're going to, Alex and I are obviously sharing a ride. And the intention was, again, before this whole COVID thing, if the season went kind of as planned, that this would be my final season, at least as an owner driver. Still willing to or would like to still do some driving if somebody had an opportunity available. But Alex is in school and so or in college, and so is his sister. So it's time to devote energy, time and energy and money to that. So that's why we're giving him the opportunity now to kind of dip his fingers or dip his toes in the water here, get some nights under his belt and decide if this is something that he wants to do in the future on his own when he gets a job or a career or whatever, and if it's something he wants to pursue or not, or if he just wants to say, well, that was really cool, and then he can tell his kids about it someday about how he used to race a sprint car. So that's going to be up to him, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. For Alex too, like if you show speed this year, which I'm sure you're going to, it sounds like you have an extensive go-kart career, and we've seen guys come up from go-karts like Will here, and then, you know, it seems like you're skipping the mini sprints, but, you know, we've seen plenty of guys go from straight from go-karts to sprint cars and do perfectly fine. So I'm assuming you're going to show some speed this season. If another team looks at you or something like that, or, you know, a team like Will's or something like that wants to put you in a car for next season, is that something that you'd be interested in? Because it sounds like your plans for this year are pretty much wrapped up, and you've got, you know, the number four car, obviously. But, you know, if Dan Merrick calls you up on the phone next year and wants to put you in a car, you know, what's your answer going to be for him?
Hey, wait a second. Before he answers, I didn't know Will was giving out rides.
Oh, I'm not. Trust me.
For me, I mean, I guess my main focus is school right now. But, I mean, if I had the opportunity after this year to continue racing, I think I'd probably have to – I'd consider it, and I'd probably say yes. it'd be hard to turn that down. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Just I've done a little bit of hot lapping last year, two or three times. And that wasn't even racing, and that was fun. So I think that I'll enjoy this year, and I'll want some more.
Yeah, I remember seeing that out there a few times, because there was I remember seeing the four car coming out, and there was a yellow tape on the back, and I was like, who's in Paul's car? And they're like, oh, it's his kid. And I was like, he looks pretty good. So really, really looking forward to seeing you in the car this year. And now for both of you guys, are there any sponsors that you guys want to thank going into this season? Anybody you want to thank, just to put it out there on the podcast, I'll leave the floor for you guys.
Absolutely. I try to not to take too much time, but we got to thank the people. A lot of these people have been helping us for a long time. So Quest Engineering in Richfield has been on board the last few years, and they've been a big help. Tisler Salvage in Mentalsville. Gaydon's Auto Body. Gaydon's Auto Body, kind of synonymous or a well-known name around Plymouth. And Dave has been great to us, taking care of the paint and things over the years. Kettle Moraine Landscaping in Boltonville and El Knepprath. Al's a great guy who has been helping us out for a number of years, and his son Brandon runs a sport mod at Plymouth and other area tracks. Hoff Farms, Dean and Stacy. Lakeshore Family Funeral Services in Manitowoc, Two Rivers, Kellnersville, and Balders. And recently they also purchased one of the funeral homes in Plymouth. Novak Service Center in Manitowoc. Acme Armature. Goodwin Competition in Amaro. Pedal Down Promotions and Jeff Peterson. And Gasford's Project. I want to thank Brad. He's not a sponsor this year. He helped us out with his grant program last year, and I really appreciated that. And that was a very cool program. And I would hope or encourage everybody to like Grassroots Project on their Facebook and follow them and maybe apply for their grant program next year. I think the stuff there is a grant program is, or the grants have been given up for 2020 already, but I'm sure he's going to keep that going. Brad's a great guy. And that's a neat program. It was fun to work with him last year.
That's, yeah, definitely an amazing.
And also all of our crew that helps us out and that has helped us out for quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Will's got one more question for you guys, and then we're going to leave it off.
All right. Who's our next guest?
Chris Flick.
All right. Do you guys have any questions for Chris Flick as our next guest?
Question? I want to know if he's feeling okay. I haven't seen him since, I don't know, mid-season or something like that. Obviously, he had a little incident at Beaver Dam and kind of knocked him out for all of last year and didn't see too much of him at the racetrack after that, or at least I didn't. So I hope he's feeling good, and I know he's ready to go because I know he's got his stuff ready and car ready. So I guess I want to know how he's feeling and how his recovery went and how it came along.
All right, we will be sure to ask him that next week. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you guys so much. And have a good rest of your day, and stay healthy and wash your hands and all that good stuff.
Thanks, you guys too. Thank you.
All right, now we're going to move on to our final segment of the show, which is going to be our Hop Farms bullpen power rankings, presented by Hop Farms. And Hop Farms, of course, have always been huge supporters of racing in the Midwest, Wisconsin in particular. They sponsors of racers such as Natalie Klemko, Bill Balog, Brandon McMullen, and more. If you'd like to get in touch with Hop Farms, go ahead and shoot Stacy Hop or Hop Farms Bullpen a message on Facebook. And once again, thank you to Hop Farms Bullpen for sponsoring our Power Rankings segment of this show. Now, moving on to the nitty-gritty of it here. I'm going to get my Dirt Kings late model power rankings out of the way right away. In 10th, I've got Mark Rose. Had a good season last season, but he's always kind of had instability from season start to season end. Justin Reed, kind of a newcomer in the Dirt Kings, moved up quite a bit last year towards the end of the season. Looked like he was getting the hang of it. So he's in 9th. Rockin' Ron Berno is in 8th. Justin Schmidt, when he races with the Dirt Kings, he wins. So he just needs to do a little bit more consistent races with the actual touring part of the Dirt Kings. Brett Swedberg almost won the championship last year, but really fell off late into the season. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes back from that. He's in 6th. 5th is Taylor Scheffler, who I was honestly surprised he didn't finish higher up in the season last year. Because when the World of Outlaws late models came to Plymouth, he got the pole. So that was awesome to see. So he's got a huge amount of talent, obviously a really good car underneath him. Troy Springborn, he's in 4th, really big late model name from up in Shawano, always runs really well. Mitch McGrath won the Dirt Kings event at Plymouth last season. He's a great racer, again, got a great car underneath him. Justin Ritchie was Rookie of the Year last season and finished 3rd in points. So if anything, in your rookie season, you finished 3rd. Obviously, he's a little bit more experienced than a real late model rookie. He was just a rookie with the Dirt Kings. But he's probably could make waves. And Nick Anvelink is going to be my number one pick. He's won the championship out of the past 3 seasons. Again, kind of stole it at the last gasp from Brett Swedberg last season, but he's just super consistent. You know, he doesn't make a whole lot of noise. He doesn't win a whole lot of races, but he just finishes 2nd or 3rd every single night. And that's what it takes to win championships. So those are my Dirt Kings rankings. Moving on to the IRA, because Will has a list of power rankings for the IRA, and I'm going to turn it over to you to read down your list and reasons why.
All right. Well, I'd like to start off by saying I wish I had more than 10 spots to work with, because there's so many good cars in the IRA all the time. But I'll start at the bottom, starting with number 10 on my list, Hunter Custer. They were a rookie a few years ago, and they've gotten pretty good in the past few nights when we had co-sanctioned events. He kind of impressed me out there. He'd come through the B main, and he kind of charged his way up.
Yeah, definitely.
It was pretty good. Number 9, I got Jordan Goldsberry. He doesn't show up all the time, but when he But when he does, he's always running top 10, top 5. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good driver. Steve Meyer is my 8th pick. He's always consistent, sneaky consistent, I would guess. He doesn't really run up the front throwing sliders or anything. He always just seems to be there in the end.
Keep his nose clean.
Keep his nose clean. 7, I put Scotty Thiel there. I didn't really know his full-time plans or not. He always obviously running up front winning mm-hmm. races.
Yep.
But he's kind of down there just because I don't know how much he's going to run. 6 is Joey Mulhan. That 73 car always seems to be there as well. He's always yep. running up front.
Uh-huh.
5th is kind of my hot take. Russell Borland.
Oh, I love that. I love that 5th place.
Yeah, maybe a lot of people disagree with me on that one, but he has come so far in the past
yeah.
few years. Like, I think he had a couple top fives in the 2019 season.
He had a couple third place finishes in the last like few months of the season.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to watch him improve yeah. so much. 4th, Jake Blackhurst. He kind of had a nasty crash there last year, and
yeah.
he's not sitting too pretty in the 2019 finishing standings. But if he were to be healthy and mm-hmm. the whole thing, I can only imagine if he'd have a run at the championship there. Then 3, Scotty Neitzel.
I like that too.
He's also one of those guys that he's always running up front.
Yep.
He never crashes really.
He probably should have won the sprint car championships. Night.
Oh yeah, that was just tough luck.
Did he run out of fuel or something like that? Broke on the car.
Man, but he's always up there. Jeremy Schultz, always a perennial favorite.
Yep.
He's always winning races and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1, how can you not pick Bill Balog?
Shock and awe. What a hot take.
Yeah. What is it, 8-time and defending IRA champion now?
Something like that.
Yeah, but that's my power rankings on the IRA Outlaw Sprint Cars.
I think he's 9-time. I think it's 9. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Mine's very, very similar, actually. Now that after reading yours, I might have to change a couple things on mine going into next week, but we'll see. 10th as well for me, I have Hunter Custer as well. He really impressed me later in the season, like you said. He would not do so hot in the heat races, so I don't know if it's something where he has to get used to the track a little bit more, but then he'd go into the B main and he would race his way up into a transfer spot, and he would keep his nose clean in the A main, and half the time he'd get a top 10 finish, you know, through attrition or whatever. But he really showed some, you know, he's not the most experienced sprint car racer out there, but he showed a lot of maturity last year. Wayne Majeski is my 9th place. He's just seems to be always consistent, some in there about like 7th to 10th, somewhere in there, night in and night out, and that's what you need to finish that high in the standings. Steve Meyer, when he gets on a half mile, he's lights out.
Oh yeah.
At Anago, I'm surprised he hasn't won every single year up at Anago. That dude is so fast on a half mile. I don't know if it's something with the car, he just really, really likes half miles. But he's always up there, like you said, like around 5th, 6th, somewhere in there. Russell Borland is in 7th, but now after hearing you talk about him, like I showered Russell with praise after last season. Like one of the most impressive things I saw in a sprint car last year was him just kicking Tony Stewart's ass at the Wisconsin Sprint Championships. It was awesome. It was in a heat race, and it was for the win of this heat race, and he just kicked his butt. I was like, yeah, it was awesome. You know, to see a local guy like Russell take it to somebody like Tony Stewart was great. In 6th, I have Scotty Neitzel as well. Again, he's just always up there. I put him in 6th because his win totals have fallen off in the past couple years. But he's still up there fighting for championships all the time and everything. So Scotty Thiel, again, he's not higher on my list because, like you said, we're not really sure what his full-time plans are for this next season because he's in the Hood Motorsports 10W this next season. So he's not running his 64 car, which actually, funny enough, he sold to Sean Rahal this last season.
Yeah, I think he bought out one car.
Yeah.
last year, I don't know if he bought some more stuff from him.
I think he did. He bought one of his older 410s last season, and I think was it Randy Sipple bought the other one for Sean this last season. But anyways, going up into fourth, I have Joey Mohan, and I have kind of a good little nugget here from Ray Underwood. Ray said, I was up in the press box with him last year at Plymouth, and he said, if there's anybody in this field that can beat Bill Balog night in and night out, it's Joey Mohan. And I was like, really? And he said, yeah, if he's in the right car and he's got the right setup for the right track and everything, nobody can beat him.
He's fun to watch.
I was like, man, that makes a lot of sense. And you know what? During that Wisconsin Sprint Car Championship last year, he led most of the A-Main before mm-hmm. he got flipped. So I think there's something there and something to that. Third, I have Jeremy Schultz. He finished second in the championship last season. Really, the only reason he's in third is because the two guys ahead of him, I feel like, are on a little bit different tier than the rest of the field. I have Jake Blackhurst in second because if he does race a full season this year, I mean, he won the championship 2 years mm-hmm. ago. So I would assume he could take it to Bill. He's probably one of the only people who could over the course of a whole season. And I think he's racing for Ozzie Motorsports again this year, so he'll have a good car underneath him. And then number one's Bill Balog, because if I put anybody else there, it'd be riots in the streets. yeah, so I completely agree with your list. I think we're pretty similar. But it'll be interesting to see how they change as the season goes on, which I think is going to be the cool part about this, is just to see how it changes. See, you know, who knows if Jeremy Schultz is going to end up third in the championship. Nobody knows. But that's the beauty of sprint car racing, and I think that'll be really cool to see as the season goes on how these drivers move up and down the list. So I think that's going to wrap it up for Hot Farms Bullpen power rankings, and we'll move on to our closing here. All right, so just going to wrap up the show here a little bit with Will. That interview was awesome. I just want to say, like, we had a little bit of technical issues with the delay from the calling app, but what he said about his first, Paul's first ever racing experience was in a Super Wing modified in a heat race. Like, that's insane to me.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I'd be able to just strap into a Super Wing and go out and drive a heat race.
Yeah, if I didn't have any prior experience either, I'd probably be pooping my pants a little bit exactly. If that was my first driving experience.
I would absolutely need a new pair of pants. But it sounds like they've got their stuff planned out for this year pretty well as far as them sharing the car. What do you think about Alex coming in? I mean, it seems like he's got a lot of experience. And I did see him drive some hot laps last year.
Yeah, Paul kind of had him hot lap last year a few times. I don't know, looking back on my rookie season, it kind of takes a while because you got to start in the back and kind of learn everything fresh on a different racetracks and kind of carrying on the night. Mm-hmm. But once he gets laps and gets some heat races and B mains and maybe even making the A main a few nights, he'll be on track pretty quick. That team knows what they're doing and how to set up a car.
The nice thing, I think, about being in the MSA now as opposed to 5-10 years ago, with the car counts the way they are, with the amount of different tracks that the MSA goes to now, I feel like this is the time to be a rookie in the MSA, because you're going to get the full experience, like traveling tour experience, but still have it localized with, you know, a lower budget car with a 360. So if you wreck tonight, it's not going to be the biggest issue in the world. But you're still going to all these different tracks. You have a 30-car field to race through every night.
Or more.
Yeah, right. Exactly. To get to the A-Main. I think the highest car comp the MSA had last year was 40, which is unreal for a local series like that. But let's say he goes into a night at a completely different track like Angel Park, and there's a 40-car field there, and then he drives to a completely new track the next night at Beaver Dam, and there's the same amount of cars there. That's a great experience for a rookie.
Oh, yeah, and all these, and there's pretty much 20, 25 cars that if their cards played right or if they got the right role or qualified good at Beaver Dam, any car could win it. I mean, you're going to learn from a lot of really good drivers, and I guess Alex has that opportunity to learn from as he goes on.
Well, we talked about in my interview with you last year, that there were 12 cars that won an A main last year in the MSA, and then there were 10 more beyond that that had won an A main in past seasons. And then you brought up the point, there's a lot of guys that led half a feature and just didn't lead the last lap. And so there's a ton of cars, like you said, probably 25, 26 cars that can win a feature. And now you add in all these rookies and everything. I don't know who else is going to be a rookie this season. I know Austin Hartman is going to be one.
Okay.
But, and I don't know anybody beyond him and Alex. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what Alex does this season.
Oh, for sure. And for Paul's races, he'll always threat for a win in top fives, yeah. too.
Yeah, he's probably the most consistent guy, maybe behind Kurt Davis or something like that in the field, I would say. So, if you don't have anything else, I think we can wrap the show.
All right, let's wrap it up.
All right, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Midwest Autosports Podcast. Once again, we are presented by Pedal Down Promotions. With a vast background in the motorsports industry, Pedal Down Promotions proudly serves as the official PR and media relations firm for Paul Pokorsky Motorsports, Josh Walter, and Torque Racing, Plymouth Dirt Track Racing, and the Midwest Sprint Car Association, and is now seeking to form new partnerships with racing teams, tracks, and series for the 2020 season and beyond. For more information on how Pedal Down Promotions can become your fast-track connection to success, contact Jeff Pedersen by email at pedaldownpromotions@gmail.com or call 920-323-7970. Also, a huge thank you to our other segment sponsors, Gasroots Project, Sage Fruit, Hot Farms Bullpen, and Recognition Race Products. And next week in the Gasroots Project, who do we have?
Chris Flick.
That's right. So we're very much looking forward to hearing from Chris. For those of you who don't know, Chris was involved in a pretty bad wreck last year in Beaver Dam. It took him out for the whole last half of last season. So kind of a similar situation that you found yourself in.
Yeah, we'll have something to bond over.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Keep it flat out.
All right. See you guys later.
Have a good one.